A couple of years down the road, you're hanging out. You are, you're booked to do a show.
What kind of show?
It's like a variety show. There's like stand up. There's like a jug band playing.
Are they good?
They fucking rule. Yeah, they're actually, they're seen as like Austin's. People say like, man, I haven't seen a jug band this good since the days of Mort Collins.
Safe to say, this is a really good lineup.
Very good lineup. The jug band, they're called Nice Jugs. And it's it's like a family, the jug family.
Yeah.
And they all play different jugs, you know? They're like the hoo, boo, boo stuff.
I love it.
The leader of the family, of the jug family, is a guy named Aloysius Jugs.
Aloysius.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the patriarch of the jugs. There's like he kind of like handles like the lead stuff.
Yeah.
The main melody.
Right.
Of the pieces. His wife Melinda sings harmony, or does the harmony part.
Okay.
The jugs. Yeah. She's not a fan of the name.
She doesn't like big jugs.
No, she's like, look, I get it. Like, we've had that name for years.
Yeah.
We can't change it.
It's a family name.
It's also the last name. Well, she didn't take her husband's last name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so that's also kind of a point.
What's her maiden name?
Skullman.
Skullman.
Melissa Skullman.
Melissa Skullman.
But like on stage, she's Melissa Jugs.
Melissa Jugs, right.
In all honesty, if their fans found out that she never actually took her husband's last name,
people would be pissed off.
They'd be weirded out.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, we go to this, people go to watch the Jug family play because it's a family band.
Yeah.
You know, and they say their last name's Jugs and they're starting to find out that maybe that's not the case. I think it would honestly probably destroy their careers. It would be career suicide.
That's a real fucking shame.
It is, because she really just has a problem with this name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she does the harmony. The bass jug is played by Big Rick, their son.
Okay.
Big Rick Jugs. And then the roadie is their stepdaughter.
Yeah.
It's never made exactly clear, because they both refer to her as their stepdaughter.
Right.
So it's never really made clear who's the actual parent and who's like, or like the biological parent and who's not.
Right.
You know, no one asks, but like, it's a little confusing.
Nonetheless, they're a tight family on stage.
They're a tight family.
And I'm going to be performing with them.
You're performing with them. There's a guy who just juggles dildos. Yeah.
What's his name?
The amazing Dilbert. The amazing Dilbert. He doesn't just do...
Is Scott dildos, Adams but... pissed about this? Isn't that his name?
Yeah, Scott Adams is not happy.
Yeah, the amazing Dilbert... His masterpiece is now a man juggling dildos on stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of what he does. He juggles other things.
On lineups with big jugs.
With nice jugs and nice Danny jugs. And Danny Goodwin. And then there's also, at the end of it, they're going to show Cool Runnings.
Okay.
So it's kind of a cool variety show. They got something for everybody.
Something for everyone. Yeah.
So you go there, you're performing at this kind of like a an odd part of town.
Okay.
It's called Sawville.
Oh, no.
Sawville is somewhat like a somewhat isolated part of Austin.
Yeah,
where
yeah,
like
yeah.
The outside world, it's like always 1930s, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like when you go there, like the locals just stare at you. Openly.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll walk up to you to stare at you. Then they don't even try to hide it. Because, like, again, not a lot of stuff happens.
No.
There's not a lot of outsiders who come in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but, like, people are trying to change that. They're starting, like, a comedy night at a Domino's Pizza in Sawville.
Yeah.
It's that variety show that you're doing. It's hosted by Derek Opswa.
Oh, nice.
Former Domino's employee.
Right.
He's like, yep, I'm pop. And like the video that he makes advertising it, because he was a pizza delivery boy there for so long that like the video is like a camera like from very far away, sped up, like walk. Like, so it's like almost like the point of view is someone walking to a Domino's.
Okay.
And they open the door and like Derek's standing there and he just goes, Papa's home, bitch. Then it's like, Derek Kopswa's Comedy Variety Hour.
Did somebody call the Domino's?
They did, dude. And it's and honestly, like, it is a pretty good show.
Yeah.
The locals are a little weirded out by it. So it's mostly from people from outside.
Okay.
Who come in to watch it. The locals kind of shun it. Friday night also is a night where they... So every Friday in Sawville, the locals, they have like kind of their own superstitions and possibly even own, you know, religions. What they do is they go to the town square where there's a scarecrow.
Yeah.
And they take the scarecrow down off it and they call it the Scarecrow's Day of Rest. And what they do is they take just, you know, someone, usually lately it's just been the town drunk, and they'll actually... put him in place of where the scarecrow was, almost like he's being crucified. You know what I mean? He's like hung up there and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So for Friday night, he takes the place of the scarecrow. So they're doing that ceremony while you guys are doing your variety show. So they don't really pay you guys much mind.
Yeah.
So you go there. Derek's hosting the show. He goes up. Did someone call the cops? Well, the whole crowd goes wee-oo, in response. The Derek heads are out in full.
Oh yeah.
So
that seems like my kind of crowd.
So Derek Kopswa goes up and fucking, like, you know, kills it.
Right.
He brings up Nice Jugs.
How do they do?
Amazing. They're really good, dude. Yeah. They do that national anthem song by Radiohead. They do their version.
Damn, that actually would be pretty cool.
But it's like on Jugs. But it's on Jugs, so it's like
I actually can see that being really fucking
and like
good.
When they get to like the middle where like the horns come in, they get intense, like they start going crazy.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, so like you're watching it and you are like, holy shit. And so you go up after them and you go up and you're like like the first thing you say, you're like, what's up, guys? And you go, Bo, how about Nice Jugs? And then everyone like goes, yeah. And like they actually like clap so hard. Yeah, they clap so hard that your hat gets like blown off. And like you have, this is a few years down the road, you have a very prominent bald spot that you cover up with a hat. And it's, you have a different hat every day of the week.
Like that.
You're very into hats by this point. Yeah. And so you're just.
I kind of feel like that turn's coming. Yeah. Soon, you know?
And you have
I'm rocking one right now.
A brutal bald spot. So everyone sees that and they all start like going even more crazy. They think it's part of the act, and you're like, yeah, definitely. And then you get back quickly and your face is beat fucking red.
Oh, that
but
sucks.
From that point out, dude, it's like the set of your life. You have them in the palm of your fucking hands.
I love that.
You just crush, you're like, all right, guys, thank you. Good night. Bringing up your next act. Here comes Wondrous Greg.
Okay.
Wondrous Greg is...
So I did pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. You bring up the next act. He's like a magician. Like, you get off stage and like, you watch. And, like, the first thing he does is he goes on stage and he's like, all right. And then he goes like, hey, gang, got any change? And he, like, bumps the side of his head and, like, a torrent of coins come out of his other ear for, like, 7 minutes. Everyone just watches. Not a word is spoken. So you're like, ooh. So you're like, you walk outside.
Damn.
And you're feeling...
kind of hoping that we get a better reaction.
Dead silence. So you kind of like sit there and watch for a few minutes as the coins just start just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're like, all right. And so like you walk outside and...
like raising up to the...
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're like, you go outside and you're like, man, that was a really fucking good set. And to be honest, like, you needed it.
Yeah.
You needed a win.
Yeah, I needed the win.
And you kind of needed the money.
Too. Right. Yeah. I could feel it.
Derek Kopswa, he's paying each act $350.
Not bad.
The source of his income is not known.
Domino's isn't, you know, shelling out.
I mean, who knows? I mean, he doesn't work for Domino's anymore.
That's
and
true.
Like, and when you're like, are you sure you're going to pay me this much? He's like, yeah. It doesn't matter. Are you kidding me? And you're like, all right.
Doesn't matter.
So you take the money.
Cash, right?
Cold. Hard. Cash. Like a brick. It's like a brick of 20s.
Yeah. That's sick.
And you kind of look at it and you're kind of like, man, I really needed this because money has been a little bit tight since everything went down.
What happened?
Your girlfriend's dead.
Oh, no.
It was.
What happened?
So you guys were celebrating Valentine's Day.
Okay.
You were like, let's go skiing, babe. And she's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of wanted to, like, maybe go to the beach or something for Halloween. And you're like, here's the thing. I already booked the trip. She's like, okay. So you guys go skiing. And you go to, like, are you much of a skier?
No, I've never skied before in my life, actually.
So you're kind of like, you're like, look, I, you know.
She sometimes has.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So that's why you got the trip for her. Because you're like, but babe, I thought you loved to ski. And she's like, yeah, I do. But like, do you know how to ski? And you're like, definitely. You just lie.
Yeah.
So you take her skiing and you guys, like, you think you're going to go to like the beginner slope or whatever. Cause you're like, yeah, you know, I just got to get, you know, find my sea legs or whatever. You just keep, cause like, you feel like she's not going to accept, for some reason, you feel like she won't accept you as a man if she knew you've never gone skiing.
Yeah.
Like, she would just look at that as being fundamentally absurd.
Right.
And so you're like, kind of like, all right, like, I need to do well.
Yeah.
And so you're like, all right, let's go to the beginner slope. You're like, babe, I just got to get my sea legs back. And she's like, okay. And so you misread the sign and you actually get on a ski lift that brings you up a mountain called Death Slope.
Yeah.
And it goes like several miles in the air and you're like really freaked out. And so when you get to the top of it, like, you're about to kind of like get to the part where you go and you go like, all right, let's do this. And like, as you start to move, you accidentally like knock her out of it. And she just falls like 4 miles through the air. And she, you're like, uh-oh. And then you just like stay on the ski lift.
Uh-oh.
And just it's about a half hour trip back down. And you're just sitting there in like stunned silence.
I'm kind of worried this about ski lifts. Like, it feels like that could very easily happen.
And you hear her go like, God damn it, Danny.
Fuck.
She's like, this isn't over.
So,
so you're being like sued by your family and stuff. Like,
they should sue me. That sucks.
They're pretty upset with
you.
I'm
upset too.
So you get the money and like, so like, you have to, you're like, I have to pay half of this to her family.
But it's us, like, I just went, uh-oh.
You were so shocked that you just said that. And then you were just like, ooh.
Yikes.
Yeah. And so.
That's not good.
Not good at all. No. And so you take the money and like, you're feeling pretty good, you know, and you get in your car and you start driving back home from Sawfilm.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about the set and you're kind of taking notes in your head. You're like, you're trying some new stuff. You're kind of moving some stuff.
Right.
So you're kind of like doing the postmortem in your head and you kind of like look up and your car just eats shit. It slips on a banana peel and crashes into a wall. Yeah. You come to.
Okay.
You're in like an all white space.
Yeah.
A room without walls.
Oh no.
It's sort of like, did you watch that Invincible show?
No.
Okay, well, there's a scene where they go to like an all-white space where everything, there's like no visible light anywhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. And so you're in this all-white space, this room without walls, and you're kind of like, all right. And you look down at yourself and like, you're wearing your clothing, but you're not standing on anything.
Yeah.
It's all white everywhere. Just open space. No, nothing physical.
Okay.
So you're like, the hell? And then you hear this like, drip, drip, drip. And you look down and you see like a small pool of like blood.
Oh.
Kind of like going between your legs from a source from behind. And you turn around. And standing there is this guy. He is 9 feet tall. He is dressed like a clown. He's got like a clown nose, you know?
Yeah. He's got a clown nose.
He's holding a balloon, and the balloon has your face on it.
Fuck me.
And he goes, "Hello, Danny. It's me, Dreamy Dan, ruler of the dreamscape." And he goes, "Make sure to win that trophy." The balloon pops. You wake up. You're like, what the fuck? You were in a coma for like about a week.
Okay.
And so you kind of come to and you're like, well, that was, you know, fucking weird or whatever. And everyone's like, oh my God, Danny, you're okay. Like everyone's like really happy.
Yeah.
And so you decide like, all right, like they're like, we're going to give you a ride home. And you say like really loudly, because you were in a coma for a week, so you like you haven't learned how to like modulate your voice again. It'll like take you a little while.
Yeah.
So like people go like, oh, I'll give you a ride home. And then you just say really loudly like, I have slept long enough. And you start like walking. And then like you're just like, oh, that didn't make any sense. You're just kind of like annoyed at yourself for saying that. Because it just doesn't really make
sense. I walked home instead of get the ride.
Because you're like, look, I've been in this bed. It's time for me to fucking move.
That makes sense, actually.
So you start walking towards home.
Yeah.
And you didn't really notice how late it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark. Austin is a very dark city. There's not a lot of lights.
No.
It's fucking weird. So you're walking down this street. You realize you've never like been on this street before. I guess it's a part of town that, I don't know, you just don't recognize it at all.
Yeah.
And you're noticing that like it's becoming more like rural.
Mm-hmm.
And before you realize it, you're like, am I fucking lost? Like, where am I? There's like no buildings. There's just like the road, you know, and then there's like the sidewalk.
Yeah.
From behind you, you kind of like hear like a vehicle approaching. You kind of like turn and it's a bus.
Okay.
And you know how the bus can like, or buses, they have those like electronic lights that can light up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever. They say stuff.
And it says, "Hello, Danny." The bus pulls up to you, and the door opens. It's like,
pow. Yeah,
all this like fucking like
smoke.
Fog. Yeah, like, fog comes out. There's like some like laser lights inside, you know, like
at the yeah, party. Yeah, yeah.
And standing, sitting there rather, is this like guy. Yeah, it's got like a wispy mustache.
Right.
There is a raven on
yeah.
his shoulder.
Yeah. I know this guy.
With the most sensuous eyes you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
You look into this green-eyed fucking raven, and like for a second you forget the eyes belong to a bird.
Right.
For a second you think like,
that's a man.
Yeah. You're like, that's a person. That's definitely like a person. And so the guy there... he's wearing a name tag that says J period Crow.
J Crow.
And he goes, "Hello, Danny. My name is J Crow. And welcome to the bus with no name. Need a ride?"
"Yes, I do."
"Do you get on?"
"Yeah, I get on."
You get on the bus with no name. And like you sit down. And, like you're the only one in there.
Right.
And he goes like, "Where to?" And like you give him your address. And he's like, "Oh, that is a ways from here. How'd you get all the way out here, partner?"
I got into a car accident. I was in a coma for about a week, and I told my friends I could walk home, but I honestly really did need the ride, so I'm glad you're here.
He goes, "No problem." He goes, "Man,
we're going to get there on time, right?"
He goes, "Absolutely." He goes, "I've been in a coma."
What?
It's like, "I know what it's like, man." And so he starts to like drive, and as he's driving, he's like, Ooh, I just remembered. I do need to make a stop.
Yeah, I've heard this one before.
And you're like, I guess. And then he like pushes like a red button.
Yeah.
And like as he pushes it, that raven like looks at you.
Yeah.
Cranes its neck like 180 degrees backwards.
Oh my God.
Like birds can do. Or yeah. Some of them can do. And he kind of like looks at you. Those green eyes.
Yeah.
Like it winks at you. And you're like. Like a shiver goes down your spine.
Right.
But a shiver with heat.
Hot shivers.
Hot shiver. So he pushes a red button, and then suddenly everything around you goes like topsy-turvy. You turn into like a wormhole, and everything's like, whoa! There's a bright flash of light.
Yeah.
And suddenly you are in, like, colonial Boston.
Okay.
He's like, all right, well, traveled through time. I'm going to go ahead. I got to go talk to somebody real quick. There's this, like, you know, this girl that I'm seeing here. So,
what the hell? I'm trying to get home.
He goes, we'll get you home.
Why am I in colonial Boston?
He goes, I had to make a stop. He goes, look, we'll go back forward in time and you'll get there. What time did you want? You wanted to get there, what, 2 minutes from now?
Yeah.
You'll be there 2 minutes from now in the future. Okay? Okay. He's like, just, you know, he looks at you. He goes, honestly, he goes, look, I get it. I'd be annoyed too. But then he like, suddenly he's wearing like sunglasses.
Yeah.
He like lowers the sunglasses to like look over like the top of him at you. He goes, if you knew what was waiting for me here.
Whoa.
He goes, and he just like nods very enthusiastically.
Oh my God.
And like the bird starts nodding very enthusiastically. And he goes, all right, well, yeah. See you in a few.
Yeah.
He gets off the bus. What do you do? And you see him like, just run. Just, you know,
are there run away. Are there red coats around?
There's like people like, yeah, there's like definitely you're like by like a harbor.
I go up to the toughest red coat I see and I go, fuck you, man. I fucking hate you.
And he kind of like looks at you. He's this guy who has like, he's like wearing, he's got the red coat shit on. He actually has like one of those old style. You know how like the British Royal Guards or whatever have those like hats or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the redcoats are wearing those hats.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's fucking weird. And he looks at you and he goes, and he's like, what's all this then?
I said, fuck you.
And he goes,
I'm not afraid of you. I'm from the future. I know how this ends.
And he kind of looks at you and his like eyes turn black. And he goes, what are you talking about, mate?
We're going to kick your fucking ass in 1776. I don't know if you know that, but I do.
And he goes,
so fuck you.
And he goes, huh? And then suddenly like these like guys kind of like walk up behind you and they grab you.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they say to the red coat, don't worry. He's just had a few, like whatever.
Wait, what the hell?
Yeah. They definitely play it off, but they play it. But what's weird is these guys all have easily the worst Boston accents that you've ever heard in your fucking life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they come up and they're like, don't mind him. He's just had a couple to drink. He's just had some beer. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And then you're kind of like, what? And then the red coat like walks away and looks at you and he goes like, what are you doing? You got a death wish or something? And he's like, what are you doing here in this rod?
Jake Rowe, he dropped me off.
And they're like, huh. And then kind of like one of them looks at you and he goes like, you know what's weird? But of course he says in that awful accent.
No, it's weird.
He goes, you know what's weird, kid? He goes like, your accent sounds wicked weird to me, pal. He's like, he goes like, how do we know you're really on our side? And you're like, you don't really know what to say.
Yeah.
And then one of them looks at you and he goes, we could have another Benedict Arnold on our hands.
Yeah.
And you're like kind of freaked out.
Yeah.
And one of them goes on to say to you, he's like, if you're really one of us, you'll help us dump all this tea into the harbor.
I'll do it. I'll dump the tea.
So you guys like kind of like creep together towards like the British ship or whatever, and you start like throwing all like the tea into like the water or whatever. And then after you're done, they're like Urda, Danny's one of us.
Yes,
he's one of the good ones. And then they high five you and stuff. And then one of them's like, but Danny, could you explain to me the significance of us getting rid of that tea?
Nah, not really. I mean, we don't want it taxed, right? We don't want to pay the taxes on it.
Yeah.
So good. I'm glad it's gone.
And they're like, oh. And you kind of realize, like, no one's sure whose idea it was to get rid of all that tea. So they're all just like, all right. And then they're like, thank you, Danny, I guess. And then they like just kind of like all walk away.
Dreamy Dan said I need a trophy.
Yeah. And so you kind of like think of that.
I honestly am thinking about that right now. I'm like, what could get me close to that in this moment?
So,
because I don't think these freak fake Bostonites.
Fake?
Yeah, they're not.
They have Boston accents.
He said the worst Boston accent you've ever seen. Well, I mean,
like, it just sounds awful. Like,
oh, it's like colonial awful.
Yeah, it just sounds terrible. Yeah. And so...
I thought it was, like, unconvincing.
Oh, no.
Like, they were trying to trick me.
It just sounded awful. Okay. Just like, and, like when you hear those Boston accents,
yeah,
you just think of every, like, towny piece of shit from Boston that you've ever met in your life.
Yeah.
Just someone proud of... shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like just someone like that. And so you're kind of like thinking about that and how kind of odd it is, and you kind of pass by a like a metalworking store. Do you go in?
Of course I go in.
You go in. There's a guy working there, and he's like, see anything you like, pal? He also has just, they all have just awful accents.
Yeah.
And so you kind of are like looking around, and you see in front of you,
oh,
is like an artisanal trophy.
I need it.
It's like a kid playing soccer.
I'm not fucking leaving without that thing.
Yeah. And so, like, you say that to him.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, I'm not leaving without that fucking thing.
And he kind of looks at it, and he just goes, he goes like, oh, he's like, that was my trophy, but I'll give it up to you for $1.25.
I'll do it. That means a lot to him. In fact, I'll give him $2.
So you give him $2, and he kind of like looks at it, and he's like hand trembles, and he's like, he's like, and so he's like, take it and get out of my sight.
Sight.
And so you're kind of like weirded out. And as you walk away, he goes, hey. And you turn and look at him, and he goes like, I can see your soul, you know.
What?
And the door closes. And you're like, all right. And so you walk back to, you see like J. Crow standing by the bus, and he sees you and kind of goes like, what the fuck? Like kind of gives a what the fuck look.
Right.
So you kind of walk over. You take your time just because you're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, fuck this guy. Why? He dropped me off in colonial Boston. I can fucking take as long as I want. Yeah. Fuck J. Crow.
To have a threesome.
Fuck Jake Rowe. Yeah.
So he kind of looks at you and he's like, what the fuck, dude? And you're like, and he goes, you bought it like a trophy?
Yeah, and I needed it. Dreamy Dan.
And he goes like, okay. He's like, I don't know what that means, but whatever. And so you get back onto the bus with no name, and he pushes the button, the red button. Everything kind of goes like, ooh. And there's like a flash of light, and you're in front of your apartment.
Yeah.
And he looks at you, and he goes, well, thanks for riding the bus with no name.
Thank you. Thank you, Jake Rowe.
He goes,
it's one of the shorter trips we've ever been on, actually. Yeah.
He goes, yep, I am what you call a minute man. And he just like smiles. And, like,
oh, he was fucking. I forgot.
And then the raven on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Esmeralda Octagon. She like laughs too. It's like a girl, it turns out, that can turn into a human by the light of the moon.
Right.
And so you're like, all right, see you later. And he goes, don't be a stranger. And you're like, whatever. And you kind of get off and you walk into your apartment, and you're fucking tired, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
You crawl into bed. Do you bring the trophy into bed with you?
Of course I do.
You bring it into bed with you, and you kind of hold on to it. And you're like, man, this trophy just like just feels right.
Yeah.
As you hold on to it, as you kind of drift away into like slumber.
Yeah.
You come to, you're back in the room without walls.
Room without walls.
All white space, everything. Dreamy Dan standing there.
Okay.
And he goes, hello, Danny. It's me, Dreamy Dan.
Ruler of the dreamscape.
And he goes, where's the trophy?
Oh, it's right here. Do I not have it with me?
No. You're just standing there?
What? And it was goes, in bed with me.
And he goes, the fuck? I thought I told you to get me a trophy.
I got it, dude. I got it. I'm sleeping with it right now.
And he goes, ugh, you dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And then, like, he just kind of, like, walks away. I'm like, what? And from behind you, you hear, like, a faint, like, sound.
What the hell's that sound?
You turn around, and in front of you is this gigantic, like, fly.
Oh.
And it's making a, like, noise. And yeah. It's so fucking loud.
Yeah.
That you're like, how could that, even with the size of this thing, how could that be one fly?
Oh, my God.
And you realize it's not one fly. It's like a billion flies that all make up the shape of it.
Yeah.
And when it speaks to you, it has the voice of like a child.
Right.
And it goes, hello, Danny. And he goes, I'm Beelzebub. You really should have bought that trophy. And then he chews on you for 10,000
no!
years.
No! Fuck me.
He just takes you into that gaping maw of his. And as he chews on you for 10,000 years, you're just like, you're alive for all of it.
Yeah.
And you're just getting like chewed and chewed and chewed. And then like right as he swallows for you to be... what do you call it? Digested for the next like millennium.
Or yeah. Whatever.
You hear just in the background, you hear Dreamy Dan go, oh, there's a trophy. And then you die.
Damn. I thought I did a lot of stuff that, you know, I even did well.
You single-handedly.
I ate shit.
You caused the Boston Tea Party.
Now. Yeah. That was the longest delay for an eat shit. You know, like, it takes 26 minutes in The Departed to, like, say the name of the movie?
Yeah.
It was like that, kind of.
Yeah, it was a lot like that. So you're just in this, like, otherworldly dimension being digested.
God, that sucks.
Well, Dreamy Dan got the trophy, at least.
Well, I'm glad he found it. Fuck Dreamy Dan. And fuck Jake Crow.